Here is the news. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto stated that the government is currently awaiting feedback on the reciprocal tariff negotiation process with the United States. According to him, Indonesia has submitted its second offer to the United States Trade Representative, which has already been received. Forestry Minister Raja Juli Antoni has stated that implementing the import deregulation policy for forestry products can provide legal certainty, facilitate investment, and create jobs. He also said that his side will manage these regulations well to provide legal certainty, improve the ease of doing business, as well as create jobs. That's the news.
Cerita tentang pencarian cintaku, tak pentingkan wujudnya, ku hanya ingin rasakannya. Apa jadinya bila cintaku ini seperti coklat, manis pahit rasanya, mungkinkah aku akan suka? Walau cinta
of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Terbayang akan jadi seperti ini pada akhirnya. Semua waktu yang pernah kita lewati bersama nyata hilang dan sirna. Hitam putih berlalu, janji kita menunggu, tapi kita tak mampu. Seribu satu cara kita lewati untuk dapatkan semua jawaban ini. Bila memang harus berpisah, aku akan tetap setia. Bila memang ini ujungnya, kau kan tetap ada di dalam jiwa. Tak bisa untuk teruskan, dunia kita berbeda. Bila memang ini ujungnya, kau kan tetap ada. Terjadi dan simpan untuk jadi story. Hitam putih berlalu, janji kita menunggu, tapi kita tak mampu. Seribu satu cara kita lewati untuk dapatkan semua jawaban ini.
Today's edition of Music Corner presents a regional pop song from Bengkulu province entitled Pais Fish. The song tells about Pais Fish or Pendap Bengkulu, namely Bengkulu specialty fish sauce. The lyrics also tell of pais wrapped with taro leaves. Pais fish is deliciously eaten with warm white rice cook and chili sauce. It is tasteful, so it makes people want to add by eating it. Well, listener, here is the song Ikan Pais by Jarvis. Enjoy!
Thank you. rapi-rapi di kebet tali mesyang. Ikan pais lemak rasonyo, makan ke nasi putih pane-pane bilang ke jeruk.
Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia. Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia,
Indonesia
sesungguhnya,
sesungguhnya
kita
lipat.
Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Well, listener, every year, millions of Muslims travel to Saudi Arabia for the Hajj. And as the world's largest Muslim majority country, Indonesia sends more pilgrims more than any other nation. But behind this spiritual journey is a huge responsibility managed by the Ministry of Religious Affairs. And we know that the 2025 Hajj has brought new changes from Saudi Arabia government, and private companies now play a larger role in serving pilgrims. And the climate and health risks are growing. Then at the same time, Indonesia must support pilgrims who travel from distant islands and rural regions. Well, President Prabowo Subianto has also made the Hajj a focus of diplomacy in his recent visit to the Middle East. And then all of this raises important questions. How is Indonesia adjusting to these new realities? And what role does diplomacy play in protecting the rights and well-being of Indonesian pilgrims? To help us understand the picture here, we have been connected with Director General of Hajj and Umroh at Indonesia's Ministry of Religious Affairs, Bapak Hilman Latif. Assalamualaikum, Pak Hilman. Pak Hilman, assalamualaikum. Assalamualaikum, Pak Hilman. Well, it seems that we still have such technical problem, and we are still trying to connect with Director General of Hajj and Umroh at the Indonesia's Ministry of Religious Affairs, Bapak Hilman Latif. Before that, let's listen to our song here. Now the song that we have already here. Oh, finally, now we have been connected with Director General of Hajj and Umroh at Indonesia's Ministry of Religious Affairs, Bapak Hilman Latif. Assalamualaikum, Pak Hilman.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
How are you today, Pak Hilman?
I'm fine, alhamdulillah.
Thank you, Pak Hilman. It's me, Faisal, at the studio of Voice of Indonesia.
Okay, Pak Faisal, thank you.
Thank you, Pak Hilman. Actually, because of this, we believe that in your busy activities, you are still able to join our special interview today. Well, Pak Hilman, before that, we have already introduced about the implementation of Hajj 2025, but we know that there are many challenges. There have been many challenges that have been faced by the government, in this case from Religious Affairs of Ministry. So, according to you, Pak Hilman, what were the biggest challenges during this year's Hajj?
Thank you, Pak Faisal. Thank you very much for this opportunity representing the Ministry of Religious Affairs. I have an opportunity to share my views about Hajj, including the current operation of Hajj 2025. It's very honored for me to be part of the your talk show program today. First of all, Hajj is about religious rituals, of course. That's millions of Indonesians want to participate. And therefore, we have a very long waiting list for Indonesians. And they should patiently wait for 20 or 30 years before they obtain an opportunity to perform Hajj. Nevertheless, there is a limit of quota provided by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for every country, especially Muslim countries. And in Indonesia, in particular, until now, usually receive Hajj quota about 221,000 pilgrims. So that is a huge delegation, and this is one of the big challenges that we face. Okay, and the second challenge that we face is about the time constraints in preparing Hajj operations, ranging from validating the potential pilgrim spread over 500 districts and cities in more than 30 provinces. And as we have known that we have seen diverse cultural backgrounds, language barriers, the increase in numbers of elderly, health issues and economic conditions of the pilgrims. Not to mention the diversity in educations. education level as well as personal experience of the pilgrims. In many cases, pilgrims experience the first departure overseas, right? And of course, a lot of things that we have to introduce to the pilgrims. Annually, these factors contribute to the complexities of health management in Indonesia. As we know that in the past 3 years, for example,
yes,
we have witnessed about 25,000 until 30,000 Indonesians who were not able to afford health costs.
Yes.
Okay? And therefore, the Ministry of Religious Affairs should invite 20% other potential pilgrims to fulfill the quota. Likewise, in the past 2 years, thousands of Indonesians could not pass health exam. Hmm. And therefore, according to the Ministry of Health, they are not eligible to perform health. So this kind of situations also become our challenge. We need at least 6 months to accomplish those processes, such as the validations, data validation of the pilgrims, payment of Hajj calls, health examinations, flight contract, as well as preparations of provisions for the pilgrims overseas, such as accommodations or hotels, caterings or meals and transportation. And the third major challenge, according to my experience, is, of course, about ground services or ground service management overseas in Saudi. You can imagine we have to manage and facilitate as well as serve more than 200,000 people from different regions of Indonesia to stay at least 40 days in other countries. Okay. And the challenge that I mean here is to what extent we could provide a similar quality of services.
Okay.
Very often, difficulties emerge on the ground, right? Here and there that we should manage, including we have to be ready to answer, to face a new regulations, issues, issued by the Saudi government. So that is the situation that we face, Pak Faisal.
So, Pak Hilman, it seems that every year Saudi Arabian government has its own maybe different regulation maybe. So, how does the Ministry of Religion prepare to meet these changes quickly and effectively, Pak Hilman?
Yes, that's right, Pak Faisal. I have witnessed four consecutive Hajj seasons. Okay, since 2022, in the aftermath of COVID-19 pandemic,
yes,
until the last session in 2025, the regulation has changed over time, and every year I saw a different regulations applied and introduced by the Saudi government. It seems to me that the Saudi government, representing or represented by the Ministry of Hajj and Umrah of the Saudi Kingdom, wants to increase the quality of services for the pilgrims. This is in line with the Saudi's effort to face what they call the Saudi Vision 2030, when hospitality, economic transformations becomes their objective.
Yes.
Right? Hajj regulations, in fact, become increasingly tough and rigid at the same time, relied on the very firm digitalized database. And therefore, it becomes less flexible.
Yes.
On the other hand, in Indonesia, the culture of flexibility remains overwhelming. You can imagine, on the one hand, the system is very rigid, very systematic, digitalized, you know, based on the fixed database, On the other hand, our culture is, very flexible.
Yes.
Okay. And right now, I'm glad that the government under the President Prabowo Subianto, as well as the current parliament members, have taken a brilliant initiative.
Yes.
To revise Hajj Regulation Number 8, Year 2009, to be more adaptive and or adaptable to the new development in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. So the revisions of the regulations will lead to a new patterns of Indonesian Hajj management.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Pak Hilman, we know that Indonesian pilgrims come from many thousand islands in Indonesia and even from many rural areas. So what kind of support that the Ministry of Religion provide for these groups before and during the Hajj?
Yes, Alhamdulillah. Until now, we have been supported by different supporting groups to deal with the diversity of the pilgrims. First, for example, our effort is to invite the Hajj mission members and the staff from different regions. So every province propose staffs to be part of the Indonesian Hajj missions. Office of the Ministry of Religious Affairs in a district level have selected and sent their staff to be part of the Indonesian Hajj mission. Secondly, we are fortunate that in Indonesia we have a lot of Indonesian Manasik groups or KBIHU, Kelompok Bimbingan Ibadah Haji and Umrah. We have been kindly supported by the engagement, deep involvement of Indonesian Hajj Manasik groups that spread all over the regions of Indonesia that closely interact with the pilgrims and intensely educates the potential pilgrims about Hajj rituals, about the Saudi culture, the situation that pilgrims will cope during the Hajj and so forth and so on. So this is a very helpful situation for Indonesia, especially for the government, because a lot of parties participate to underpin the operation of Hajj in the country. And the government at the same time also offer monastic training many times in the region before the departures of the pilgrims to Saudi Arabia.
Okay. Pak Hilman, we know that our President Prabowo Subianto and also and his entourage went to Saudi Arabia to meet Prince Muhammad bin Salman and to talk more about Hajj and Umrah implementation. Do you think that the visit of our President Prabowo Subianto also would like to negotiate maybe about the number to increase the quota of Hajj for next year, Pak Hilman?
Well, we are very glad to hear that Mr. President went to Saudi to meet His Excellency's Prime Minister Mohammed bin Salman. And we do expect that a lot of topic and strategic issues are discussed by our leaders with the Saudi Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And in relation to Hajj, I believe that this talk and meet between these two leaders from Indonesia and Saudi is very important for us. As we know that we have to improve many things in the countries.
Mm-hmm.
As regards to better Hajj management and to build understanding about the Saudi visions of the Hajj, about the new regulations and the skill that we have to master in order to fit with the new development in Saudi Arabia. We do expect that in the near future, the Hajj economic ecosystems can also be increased in terms of quality and quantities, as we know that in the past few years, we have taken initiative to send some what we call ingredients, you know, spice, mm-hmm. the Indonesian commodities and then product,
yes.
to be used for Indonesian pilgrims in Saudi. Mm-hmm. So what we expect is that mutual apart from mutual understanding, we can also accelerate a mutual benefits among these two countries, mm-hmm. through the Hajj management. And in my views, the talk is not simply about the quota. Hajj quota is one thing. But then other aspect related to the Hajj management, the economic impact, the mm-hmm. social impacts are also important for us.
Okay. Pak Hilman, based on your calculation and even your consideration, based on the visit of President Prabowo to Saudi Arabia, actually, how many quotas or how many number of pilgrims that are really needed for Indonesia to be increased, especially for next year's quota, Pak Hilman?
I have been informed by the Minister of Hajj and Umrah, mm-hmm. That the quota will be announced officially in 10th July, mm-hmm. this month, in the next few days. But the quota provided by the kingdom is also related to our capacities.
Oh, okay.
Okay. 221,000 pilgrims is a lot, no?
Yes.
So that probably, as we have experienced before last year, Saudi's government offered 20,000 quota. Last 2 years, they only gave us 8,000. But in my view, the most important thing is whatever the numbers, mm-hmm. it should be manageable. Okay,
yes.
We have to consider the capacity of Asrama Haji in many provinces, the capacities of our airports, mm-hmm. the capacities of flight, and a lot of factors actually that have to be prepared in order to fulfill the quota in Indonesia. As I mentioned before, in the past 3 years, mm-hmm. I witnessed that even 25,000 to 30,000 pilgrims could not pay, mm-hmm. Could not afford, you know, the Hajj cost, and additional quota is probably important. But the most important thing for me is how to manage the current quota.
Okay. Pak Hilman, this is really interesting for me to ask you more, Pak Hilman. I mean, if Saudi Arabian government increase the capacity or the number of Indonesian Hajj pilgrims or quota next year, will you also maybe this is also related to the readiness and even evaluation of Hajj officers, Pak Hilman. Hajj officers is also important to the success of the implementation of Hajj. So how do you see about this evaluation, Pak Hilman, especially for Hajj officers for next year?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, we have recruited quite dynamics and good and performance of Hajj officer recruited mm-hmm. from different district and different provinces. Also nationally, we announced to the public inviting mm-hmm. The candidates from pesantren, from higher education institution, from mm-hmm. Islamic mass organization and other groups in Indonesia, because Hajj should be inclusive, belongs to many people, belongs to many parties, belongs to many entities in the countries. So every interest groups, okay, could also send their people, not only for those who are going to work on the ground, but we also need a journalist. And I'm expecting that in the future, the RRI could also send, you know, the journalists to observe the Hajj operations. And that's the situation in recent time. But it depends on the models of Hajj management of in Saudi Arabia in the future. I heard that they will, you know, post and encourage private companies deeper in engaging Hajj management, not only G2G, government to government, but right now private companies vibrantly engage in facilitating and serving the pilgrims. That is the situation.
Okay. Pak Hilman, I'm really interested what you said before about like you said before about RRI would be able to come to observe about the implementation of Hajj next year. But every year we express our gratitude, thanks for the Ministry of Religion, because every year we also send one journalist to implement to see observe about the implementation of Hajj in Saudi Arabia. So in this case, maybe based on your policy, maybe from the Ministry of Religion would also give us maybe more chance, more than one or two journalists maybe to observe directly the implementation in Saudi Arabia, Pak Hilman.
Yeah, that also depends on the quota provided by Saudi government, right? Okay, and one is enough, two is sufficient. So, well, we invite the more diverse the background of the journalists, the better for us. And we need an equal information to be delivered for the Indonesian society. As you know, sometimes small problems that we face in Saudi could be capitalized, you know, is irresponsibly by somebody in order to get an attention. But on the other hand, our progress, what we have done, what's kind of achievement that we have performed, very much are not published, you know, proportionally. So a balance is needed among the journalists. From our side, we have to witness some weakness. We have to witness some weakness that we have during the operations. Affecting, for example, a few groups, a few people, a few pilgrims in Saudi, but sometimes the journalists also forget the way we resolve the situation, the way we resolve the problems, the way we overcome a delicate situation, which is which are not proportionally published, in order to get a balanced information for Indonesia.
Okay. Well, Pak Hilman.
And anyway, thank you for your eagerness to participate and to send more than one journalist. We appreciate it.
Amin, amin, mashallah, subhanallah. Thank you, Pak Hilman. Well, Pak Hilman, I have an information, but tell me if it is true or not. The Ministry of Religion is now discussing the idea of building a Hajj village, Kampung Haji, Pak Hilman, in Indonesia. So actually, is that correct? Or what is the concept and how would it help improve Hajj preparation?
Indonesian village or Indonesian Hajj village has been discussed many times and reinstated and re-emphasized by the current government, especially the Vice President's court to, according to the knowledge, to the best of my knowledge, has ordered some people, probably the Minister of Religious Affairs, also the Chairman of Indonesian Hajj Authority, to prepare for this. I haven't heard quite detailed information about this, and I'm not capable to answer the issues in quite detail. But I guess that the objective of preparing and building what we call the Hajj, Indonesian Hajj village, is a strategy to increase the Hajj economic ecosystem. Okay, you can imagine we have to spend more than a trillion rupiahs, more than 20 trillion rupiahs annually for Hajj costs, right? And this is huge money, okay? It's a amount of money. At the same time, we are quite lack in regaining the benefits from this Hajj event. And therefore, you know, by increasing the capacity of Indonesian Hajj economic ecosystem, the cooperation among Indonesian Hajj companies and Saudi cooperation in investments, all in the hotels, transportations, as well as factories or meal product and so forth, will sustains, you know, the economic conditions in the country, including the spending from BPKH, right? Badan Pengelola Keuangan Haji in Indonesia, Indonesian Hajj Fund Board, right? So that's a big concept. But in my views, I believe there would be a short-term project for this Indonesian Hajj village,
yes,
which can be implemented on the ground by renting and occupying certain regions nearby Masjidil Haram, so those regions can be used by Umrah pilgrims as well as Hajj pilgrims every time and every year. Medium term and long term project can be in the form of building new areas in Mecca or nearby Mecca. But of course, a lot of efforts we have to spend for this, as well as a lot of money, and we will see what's going on in the near future for this project.
Okay. Pak Hilman, we have still two last question. Yes, we have still two last question. The first is, based on your calculation or estimation, is the cost of Hajj for next year increase or not? If it is increased, approximately how many percent, Pak Hilman, actually? Approximately.
Well, we cannot guess, you know, the Hajj costs. Of course, everyone expects that the cost of Hajj can be decreased, should be affordable for a nation. And I agree, and I extremely agree with this. But the fact should also be considered. The cost of fuel, okay, the gas, the tax in Saudi Arabia, and the commodities also, the price increase. So it should be negotiated, okay? What is to be negotiated? First of all, of course, the models and the patterns of services.
Okay.
Okay. In the past, for example, before pandemic, the pilgrim would only have 2 meals in 1 day. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Makan siang and makan malam. Okay? But in the aftermath of the COVID-19, it becomes 3 times a day. Okay? So that is an option. Okay? And the second one, in the past, we could rent and use very best mm-hmm. and huge hotels, okay, with more than, for example, 15 or 20,000 capacities, but the price is quite high. Well, it can also be option.
Mm-hmm.
We are not supposed to be too close to the mosque. we ship from the region as long as it is manageable mm-hmm. and can be facilitated by the bus, for example. So a lot of options. The price is not simply about increase or decrease.
Okay.
The main point is what kind of services that we need to be provided for the pilgrims. And according to Islamic law, the Islamic Sharia, and Hajj is mandatory for those who are able to do so. Man istata'a ilayhi sabila. For those who are able to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Istita'a here can also mean istita'a or ability to pay. Ability to pay the cost of Hajj.
Mm-hmm.
Ability to perform physically.
Okay.
Which means in the good health conditions. Ability to perform Hajj because of good geopolitical situation, for example. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, recently a conflict in the Middle East has a little bit interrupts the process operations of the returns of the some pilgrims and health of the flight of Indonesian two Indonesian flights. So that is example. So the main issues for us is what kind of services that we need to be provided for the Indonesian pilgrims.
Okay, finally the last Pailman, only just short message. Maybe do you have any messages or your expectation for the sake of implementation of Hajj in 2026, Pailman?
Oh, okay. This is quite a tricky question. As you know, President Republic Indonesia, mm-hmm. President Prabowo has set up new organizations, Indonesian Hajj Authority, BPH, mm-hmm. Badan Penyelenggara Haji, which is projected to handle the Hajj management in the future. And we do expect that Hajj managements, Hajj provisions, Hajj services for Indonesians can be better in the future.
Amen.
And of course, can be managed by right men, the right place. Hajj is quite complex politically, socially, and economically. And we do hope that many parties, many groups of people in the country could work together hand by hand, not being politicized, working to support the operation of Hajj. And inshallah, because for the sake of God, in order to facilitate for those who are going to pray, well, our sincerity, okay, keikhlasan kita can accelerate the better process of Hajj operation in the future.
Amin. Thank you very much, Pak Hilman Latif, for your time to who has already given us clear explanation about the implementation of Hajj, especially in 2025, and we hope that the implementation of Hajj in 2026 will be much better than before. Thank you, Pak Iman Latif.
Thank you so much, Pak Faisal.
Thank you, Pak Iman. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi
wabarakatuh. Well, listener, that was our special interview with Director General of Hajj and Umroh at Indonesia's Ministry of Religious Affairs, Bapak Hilman Latif. Hopefully, what we've already given to you can be much goodness and can increase, improve about your understanding or insight about Indonesia. Stay tuned. Now, let's us give you our next song. Here is a song from Kita Indonesia that would like to make you feel eligible. And here is Kita Indonesia.
Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia. Tulistiwa kita kabarkan berita membuka cakrawala semua bertaut udara di gelombang semesta kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello dunia, selamat malam minggu. Beri malam yang tak terlupakan. Menyentuhmu dengan kata indah, wangi aroma intim berdua.
Sabtu pagi aku telepon. Tanya kau apa planning nanti malam. Sebut dinner, nom-nom dan shopping. Ternyata kau pilih dinner romantis.
Here we go.
Dandun rapi ala mafia, lengkap dengan dasi dan jas hitam. Rambut klinis, licin dan bersih. Aku sudah siap menjemputmu sayang.
Hello dunia, selamat malam minggu. Beri malam yang tak terlupakan. Menyentuhmu dengan kata indah, wangi aroma intim berdua.
Tiba di lokasi dinner, pilih menu berdua favorit kita. Selagi tunggu hari semua,
oh yeah.
Tanganmu tak bisa lepas ku genggam.
Here we go.
Mengapa hingga saat ini jantungku berdebar detik-detik ser. Oh my god, dirimu hot banget. Tak buat diriku selalu jatuh cinta.
Terlupakan. Menyentuhmu dengan kata indah, wangi aroma intim berdua. Hello dunia, selamat malam minggu. Beri malam yang tak terlupakan. Menyentuhmu dengan kata indah, wangi aroma intim berdua.
Kaulah keindahan dunia, anugerah tiada tara. Semerbak wangi bak bunga di taman. Berikan ku rasa nyaman, senyum indah takkan terganti. Kini kau telah menjadi sang dewi. Jangan pergi, tetaplah di hati. Namamu terukir elok di sanubai.
Hello dunia, selamat malam minggu. Beri malam yang tak terlupakan. Menyentuhmu dengan kata indah, wangi aroma intim berdua. Hello dunia, selamat malam.